Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Dan's been teaching on the book of Romans in the seventh chapter. And in the seventh chapter, he ended last week with, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Oh, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." He's been teaching on chapter 7, and it's a struggle between the two natures. The old nature that is still wanting to rule the soul, because the soul, there's not three pictures there. There's a soul, a spirit, and a body. You're a three-part being, just like the Godhead is three. And you're fused in the womb, and your soul is your personality, that part of you that makes you you. Some people teach that it's the mind and it's the will and the emotions. It's all of that. And your spirit, God is a spirit, and God breathed into you and made you a spirit made in his image. So we are spirit. And the Lord says that eternity in the book of Ecclesiastes is in the heart of man. My soul and my spirit are eternal. And there's something on the inside of all of us that knows that there's more than this. If you're not born again yet and you're not sure what you believe, you know in your heart of hearts that there's more to you than the animal kingdom, that there's something in you and it's called eternity and it's your spirit and your soul. And then God fused us into this body. It was crafted in the mother's womb, in our mother's womb. And we were made and we were given the senses that we need to live our life on this earth planet, because we were born into a corporeal, material world, dimensional. This world has things that we are equipped to live in. And he made us rulers over this planet. Humanity is the pinnacle of the earth creation. All of us are made in the image of God. And so here we are as people, and we get born again, and we get taken out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God, and we begin to walk and live with God, and we begin to experience a whole new life, and we're going to talk about that today. But there's a struggle going inside of us in that we know what to do, and we know what's right, but we sometimes just can't do it. And we struggle. Does anybody ever struggle or disappoint themselves? Don't raise your hands. Yeah, I don't want to know. It's between you and God. There's a tremendous struggle because the flesh, the natural, the carnal, which means simply the natural world. There are two dimensions. There is the invisible realm where the Spirit of God is, the throne of God. And it says in Hebrews that the invisible world made this material corporeal world. And so this world, we can measure it. There's time. We live in time. God created time. He doesn't live in time. He lives in eternity. There are things we cannot wrap our finite minds around because we're in this world and it's all we know. But in this world, you and I will have struggles with doing what God says to do. And when chapter 7 comes, Paul writes about that struggle, and then he says at the very last verse, he says, "Oh, wretched man that I am. I'm tired of this. I don't want to struggle. I know what's right, and I don't do it. The very thing I want to do, I can't do. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, with the mind, I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Now let's go to where we're going today. We go, remember, this is a letter. There's not chapters and verses here. Paul continues the thought and the revelation. And he says, "Therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." And now he is introducing to us into the salvation and the deliverance of this dilemma of these two natures warring with each other. And he's saying, there are two laws at work here. There is the law of sin and death, and there is the law of the spirit of life. Now, we're going to look at those laws today. And there is no condemnation. That word condemnation is an interesting word. It's a legal word, and it means that we have been condemned, found guilty by trial, and now we are under the law of the punishment that fits the crime. Condemnation. You're guilty, and you will be punished. You're guilty, and you will be punished. And we can live our entire lives condemned. We can live our entire lives experiencing shame and guilt, and we have lived it, and we understand it because we are the people of this planet. And God says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But here's the condition. If you walk not in the flesh, not in that natural man, but in the spirit of life, in the Holy Spirit. For when you walk in the Holy Spirit, the law of the spirit of life frees me from the law of sin and death. Let's talk about these laws. What's the law of sin and death? Started back in the garden. It actually started before the garden when Satan rebelled, and you'll find about Satan's rebellion in Ezekiel chapter 28 and Isaiah chapter 14. He was created perfect. He was the anointed cherub that covered. He was absolute perfection. And because of his perfection, the word teaches us that he was absolutely enamored with himself, and he decided that he would be like God apart from God, and he rebelled. No one tempted him. He became the tempter, and he's the originator of evil. And from evil, we'll see what evil is in a little bit, from evil came the offspring of sin and death. So the law of sin and death simply says, you sin, you die. And God said in the garden to Adam and Eve, he said, there's two trees in this garden. There's a tree of life, and there's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't touch, don't eat. He didn't say don't touch. He said, don't eat from that tree of good and evil. Why? Because they were fused with God. There was no sin yet. They were sinless. And they were getting their good and their evil. They were getting everything they needed from this infusion from God. They were joined to him with perfect connection. There was no death yet operating in their lives, because the word death means separation. And when I found Jim 1 year and 8 months ago, when I went to bed with him and woke up and he wasn't there, his body was there, but he wasn't there. And in this world and in this generation and in this culture, we don't talk about death a lot. We put it in hospitals and take it to mortuaries, but we are all going to die. As surely as we're born, we're going to die. And we're going to have to deal with it. And when I saw him, and when I found him next to me, even though his body was there, he was gone. I kissed him. He didn't kiss me back. I cried. He didn't cry with me. I talked to him. He didn't talk to me back. His body was there, but his spirit and his soul had been taken, and he was with God in heaven, because to be absent from the body with a believer is to be present with the Lord. He was gone. I was separated, and there was nothing that was going to bring him back to me on this earth. His earth days were completed, and I had a download with the Holy Spirit, and the Lord began to show me some things. And I will tell you right now, standing on this pulpit as a 75-year-old great-grandmother, this is all true. The Word of God is true. There is a spirit realm. Because we can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. And the Spirit created the material world. And just like you cannot see x-rays and microwaves and all the sound waves that are in this room right now, because you can't see them doesn't mean they're not there. And there are angels right now in the Spirit, because the Bible says that angels long to look into the spotless Lamb and the redemption of the saints of God. They're here right now listening to us. The spirit realm is real, and it is cloaked. Earth is veiled. And there are things we don't see clearly and we do not understand. But what we need to see clearly and what God wants us to understand is clearly stated in the Word of God, which is God's truth. Jesus said, "Your word is truth." This culture may swing us back and forth, may tell us what they want to be their assumed truth. But there's only one plumb line. There's only one truth. There's only one thing that I can live my life by and that I can vouch for, and that is the written word of God that reveals the revelation of God, His Son, His Spirit, and mankind. And God has a plan for us, and the law of sin and death said, if you sin, you die. Let's define sin. In 1 John chapter, can I have the verse up? In 1 John chapter 3, in the Amplified, everyone who commits and practices sin is guilty of lawlessness, for that is what sin is, lawlessness. It is the breaking, violating of God's law by transgression or neglect, being unrestrained and unregulated by His commands and His will. So if there's one word for sin, it is lawlessness. The Antichrist that's coming, the spawn of Satan, is written in 1 Thessalonians as the man of lawlessness. You hear the word lawlessness continually on our news. Jesus said in Matthew that because lawlessness will abound in the last days, the love of many will wax cold. But will the Son of Man find faith when He enters the earth, when He comes again? We're living right now in lawlessness. We don't like it because it's breaking the laws that were made to protect us and to govern us. And God has a law, and these laws are moral principles. They're not just the law of God that we read about in chapter 7, but these are moral principles and codes whose truths are unchanging. And the law of sin and death says you sin, you break the law of God, you break His word, and you will die. And chapter 7 says that we're bound to it. We're sold under slavery to it. The law of sin and death is a moral principle that if you sin, it will lead to death. We are sold into slavery and inherited the sin nature from Adam. We have the propensity to sin, to disobey God's commandments, and to then die. The law of God was given to Israel, but it couldn't save us. It could only reveal sin in Jesus Christ. So in chapter 7, we've been looking at the law. Now, the law was a code that God gave Moses for Israel. God took Abraham, the father of faith. And from Abraham, He gave him a miracle child called Isaac. And from Isaac, He had Jacob and Esau. Jacob was loved by God, received by God. Esau was profane, and he's not part of Israel. So out of Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, out of Jacob came 12 sons, and out of the 12 sons came the 12 tribes, and out of the 12 tribes came the land and came the nation of Israel. And when they were in Egypt and God brought them out, the great Exodus, everything about this is pictures of Jesus Christ and our salvation. He gave them the moral code or the law, and this law was given to them to put boundaries and perimeters around the nation of Israel so that out of Israel, one would be coming, because in the Garden of Eden, when Satan tempted Adam and Eve, and when Eve took the bait, and Adam, who was with her, did nothing but join her, and mankind was thrown into brokenness, and this planet became broken, and the title deed of earth was handed to Satan. And God said to Satan as He judged him, "You're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head, because there's one coming, born of the seed of the woman, that will destroy your kingdom." And so from the beginning, before the foundations of the earth were ever laid, this plan of redemption, this plan of buyback, this plan of rescue, this plan of bringing forth a race that had never been, a new creation, this plan of making a bride for the Son, this plan of God was already set in motion. And God took Israel and gave them this code. Now, the thing about the law is that the law told you what was wrong, but it never gave you the power to do it. So the law could tell you what was right and wrong, but the law could never empower you to do what is right. And that's what chapter 7 is all about. the law of Moses and the law of God. In that law was the picture of Jesus and the church. In that law is the revelation of Jesus Christ, because the law is holy, just, and good. And the law came as a schoolmaster to teach us about Jesus and to tell us what is right and wrong. But it says in Romans chapter 7, which Dan has been preaching, that sin, taking occasion of the law, because it stirred up desires in us, condemned us, because we knew now what was wrong, but we couldn't do it. Are you with me? So we were condemned. So the law of sin and death says, you sin, you die. But here comes a law that's higher. Here comes a law that Satan didn't know about. Here comes a law that was kept hidden and was a mystery. And just like the law of gravity says what comes up must go down, but there was a law that mankind discovered called the law of lift, and it could take an airplane, it could take a flying machine that weighs tons and tons and tons, and because the law supersedes the law of gravity, that law and force of lift brings that airplane up into the air and flies us. There was a law that they didn't know about. There was a law that Satan and his kingdom didn't understand. The law of the spirit of life has freed me from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death said, you sin, you die. The law of life says, you believe, you live. Believe and live, or sin and die. Believe and live, or sin and die. Believe and live, or sin and die. A higher law. Let's go on. So as I'm reading this to you, it says that God... Let's look at verse 3. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, we just talked about that. It couldn't give you the power to do it. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. There was a moment in time when the Godhead, the Word, made flesh. John describes him. His Christmas story is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him and for him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And there was a point in time when the Word stepped out of eternity and stepped into the womb of that virgin. And girls, I love this, because God's a God of restoration. And Eve may have pioneered sin, but God took the woman to pioneer salvation. And God stepped out of eternity and stepped into the womb of the virgin. And the virgin conceived, and Gabriel, the angel, said, that which is upon you, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and that which is born of you is from God and is holy. And there was one coming who would be the God-man. He never, ever stopped being God, because God can't deny himself. But God took on the human nature without sin. Before sin, he took on, and that's why the Bible tells us he is the last Adam. And he took on the nature of man. Now listen, here's the thing about nature, and I say this every time I'm with you. Nature's inherited. Character is determined by the choices we make. I have a sheepdog, Ziggy. She's 80 pounds. She's a dog. No matter how much I love her, and I do, I'm a dog mom now, I know. It's embarrassing. When I buy a steak, I cut it in half, and she gets half, and I get half. I know. I'm a little ashamed, but what can I say? I'm alone now, and Jim's not here to micromanage me, so I get to do what I want. I get to shop and buy what I want, and I get to do the flipper. All right. Ziggy's a dog. I give her these bones that I buy, and she'll take a bone, and I have these big planted trees in my house. And if she can't get outside, she'll take the bone, and she will dig in the tree, and she will bury the bone. I know she does this because she's got dirt all over her face, and there's dirt all around the tree. And I'll go over there, and there's a bone half sticking up. It's like, good job, Zig, you know? Really, do you need to go outside and bury that bone? She's a dog. She'll never be a human. Her nature is a dog. A dog is a dog. A pig is a pig. A horse is a horse. A human being is a human being. We were born into a sin nature. Sold under slavery to that renegade terrorist, and our nature was, even though we wanted to do good and do right, our nature was to disobey God and sin. But the law of the spirit of life has freed me from that law of sin and death. And so taking occasion, let's go back to the verse. For what the law could not do and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Remember, the law said, here's what's right, but you can't do it. Throwing us into that law of sin and death. But God came, and he became the last Adam, and he walked through the human experience. And he obeyed, and he did and fulfilled every jot and every tittle of the law. He did not break it, he did not sin, but he fulfilled all the requirements of the law. He came legally as a human being. He legally fulfilled all the requirements of the law. And then he laid his life down on that cross and became sin, took as a sacrifice our sins on his own body on that cross. And he died. And I love this verse in Acts chapter 2:24. Peter's preaching his first message, and the Holy Spirit's just been poured out in Jerusalem. And the upper room, and they're speaking in tongues of men and of angels. And all these people in Jerusalem are gathered around because they're hearing this good news, this gospel being preached in their own language. And there are several languages being spoken of, and they can't imagine. They think they're drunk. And Peter says, we're not drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. This is that which was spoken of by Joel the prophet, that the last days God will pour out his Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. This is the Holy Spirit poured out because Jesus, who you crucified, who died, was raised from the dead. And he begins to talk about the resurrection. And this is what it says in Acts 2:24. I don't have it up on the screen, but let me read it to you. Whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Now here's the law of the Spirit of life. Jesus Christ came to redeem us. He had to be the kinsman redeemer. He had to be a blood relative. He had to have the resources, and he had to be willing. It was written in the law that if you lost something through wrong choices or bad challenges in your life, you could have a blood relative come and buy back what you had lost. But he had to be blood. He had to be a close relative. He had to have the resources, and he had to be willing, the kinsman redeemer. God wrote that in the law to show us what Jesus would be, that he came, identified with us. There's a man seated at the right hand of the Father. If you go to the highest place in the universe, the highest form of power, next to God the Father, there is God the man, Christ Jesus. He's so identified with us that he became flesh in the likeness of sinful flesh, but he wasn't sinful. He fulfilled the law. Therefore, not only did he qualify to buy me back through identification, but now he's qualified to reconcile me back to the Father, because the law of sin and death said I'm separated from God. Not only do I not have the ability to obey, but oh, I am headed towards hell, which was made for Satan and his angels, not for humanity. And I will never, ever for eternity face God or be with God or his goodness or his light or his grace. I will be in the darkness of hell. And Jesus describes hell. And God says, I'm not willing to separate from you. I'm not willing that you'd be eternally damned and eternally vanquished from me. So I'm going to bring myself to you, and I'm going to bring you back to me. It's called reconciliation. Now I'm joined to the Father, the law of the Spirit of life. That means when I pray in Jesus, because he's in me, I pray to the Father of heaven and earth. He knows me, and he loves me. So not only did he buy me back, he brought me back through substitution. In the law, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And in the law, for me to be able to get near God because of my sin, something has to die in my place so I can be atoned for and I can come near. You see, God was near us in the Old Testament through the law. Near us. And to be reconciled to the Father, there had to be a sin substitute. But now the law, the Spirit of life says, I'm the substitute. It's not the blood of bulls and goats. It's not the blood of creation. It's not the blood of a fallen planet. It is the very blood of God himself, the Almighty God. And death could not hold him. Hell could not keep him, Peter says. He was raised because there was no sin. He was innocent, and this great absolute takeover. And he said, excuse me, I'll take the keys of death and hell. And he led captivity captive. He unlocked Abraham's bosom, brought us back to the Father. And now he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And now we pray in his name to the Father. And he's given us the Holy Spirit. And we are reconciled. We bought back. We're brought back. And the best is yet to come, because now he's restoring us back. What has been lost, what could not be. Jim and I could never pastor a church in the natural. He is divorced 3 times before he was 25. And I was a sinner and I lived with everybody and was only married once and did drugs. Sold drugs with my husband. How could we, rank sinners, ever stand in a pulpit and preach the holiness of God and the goodness of God because of our past? But you see, the law of the Spirit of life would have condemned us, but the law of sin and death would have condemned us, but the law of the Spirit of life freed me from the law of sin and death, washed me, cleansed me, made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. And that's exactly what the law of the Spirit of life does, because I need to move on. How much time do I have? I'm doing okay. We're not going to be too late. Okay. The law of the Spirit of life says you believe, you live. Second Corinthians 5:14, let's look at it. For the love of Christ compels us, pushes me up against a wall, it holds me prisoner, this love of God. Because we judge thus, if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh in his natural state. Yet now we know him thus no longer. They've seen him resurrected. Therefore, because of this, because this love holds me prisoner, and I judge and I understand that if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That nature that we inherited has died with Jesus Christ on that cross. And I've been born again to a God nature, the new nature, so that I look like my father. I act like my brother. I act like my future husband. My nature is now a godly righteous. Righteousness is a Christian word, and we don't use it. It's an old King James word. It comes from right wiseness. It means the ability to be right with God and do right for God. It has right at its center. And when I believe in Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life, believe and live, when I hear the gospel and I believe and I release my faith, this great grace that's been given to me to get saved suddenly begins to work on the inside of me, and it transforms me and chains me. It buys me back from the law of sin and death. It reconciles me to the Father. And now it is restoring me to who I am supposed to be, to become who God's called me to be on this planet in my earth days until I go home and spend eternity with him. For the law of the Spirit of life has freed me from the law of sin and death. Can I read you one more scripture? Sin is a dethroned monarch. This is out of chapter 6 in the book of Romans. Do you have it up there or do we not have it? Sin is a dethroned monarch. So you must no longer give it an opportunity to rule over your lives, controlling how you live and compelling you to obey its desires and cravings. So then refuse to answer its call to surrender your body as a tool for wickedness. Instead, passionately answer God's call to keep yielding your body to him as one who has now experienced the resurrection life. You live now for his pleasure, ready to be used for his noble purposes. Remember this, sin will not conquer you, for God already has. You are not governed by law, but you are governed by the reign of the grace of God. We are not governed by the laws that we couldn't keep, but now we're governed by the reign of the grace of God. So there's no condemnation. I'm guilty and I'm going to be punished. There's now a new law that supersedes and overrules the law of sin and death. You sin, you die. You believe you live is a law of life. Now the Holy Spirit is in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. God was near man in the Old Testament. When Emmanuel came, the picture of God and the Word made flesh, God was with man. That's why Emmanuel means God with us. He actually walked and lived the human experience on this earth. There were those, John says, we touched him, we held him. We experienced God in the flesh, Emmanuel. God was with us, but he said, oh, I've got to go. I'm going to take your sin, but I'm going to rise from the dead because death has no legal hold on me. I will take the keys of death and hell, and now I'm going to send back the Holy Spirit, and he will be in you, and he will make you new creations. Old things are passed away. All things become new. And now you can walk and move and live in the Spirit of the living God. For the law, the Spirit of life, has freed me from the law of sin and death. So I want to just give you three things. I've explained the two laws. This is going to go fast. Because Dan's going to be in this chapter, and he's going to be talking and teaching you about walking in the Spirit. But for me, as a new widow, relatively new now, walking in a way that I've never walked before, in a newness of faith that I've never had to have before, because I don't have the man that I loved. I'm alone, but I'm not alone. But I had to learn how to walk in the presence of the Holy Spirit because I had this 6'5" micromanaging lover that loved me and could tell me to do everything and how to do it. I mean, when the man retired and we came home, he'd tell me how to mop the floor. He couldn't help himself. You're men. You're made to lead. That's just who you are. It's okay, be men. We love you being men. We do. And I would do anything to be micromanaged by him one more time. So I'm saying, married people, don't fuss over the stupid stuff. Look past it and write an epic love story for your days on earth that you have left. But I have to learn how to do things in a new way. And so for me, walking in the Spirit now, I've had to do some things. So can I just give you three quick things? I had to do, first and foremost, I had to understand that I had to give my weakness to the Lord every day. Every day. Because I'm full of weakness. Especially I'm 75 years old. I mean, Jim didn't leave me when I was young and I could get married again. I'm 75. I'm an old woman and I'm old alone. It's like, really, God? I mean, the other night, it rained. And I've only been in this house a month because we sold the house we lived in and the Lord let me buy something else so I wouldn't have the memories because it was hurting my heart. And the outside lights in the front yard never have come on, ever. There's no switch I can find for them. Two nights ago, the lights were on. I'm out there in the rain, digging around the shrubs, trying to figure out, are they plugged in? Is there a light switch? How can they be on? They're not solar. What is going on here? You see, I'm learning. I live on YouTube. I'm learning. And I'm learning that in my weakness, his strength is made perfect. And I want to go to a scripture that's so familiar. We live there so much at this church, but let's go again. 2 Corinthians 12. And Paul's talking about the thorn in the flesh, and it's not sickness and disease. Man, just read chapter 11, and you'll find out what the thorn was. The thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, that word messenger is angelos, it's angel, it was a demon. This messenger was sent to Paul to buffet him continually. And he said, 3 times, I said, Lord, take it away from me. And God answers him. And he said to me in verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient. I've given you my sovereign divine ability to get the job done on your behalf without me removing you out of the situation. I want you in it because you're going to grow and learn through it. You're training to be like me. You don't run from the enemy. You stand and endure. You may despise the shame of it, but you endure. And my grace, my sovereign divine ability to get the job done on your behalf, it actually comes on you when you are weakest. And God is beginning to show me, you've got to give me your weaknesses. You've got to identify them and give them over to me, because your weakness is your new superpower. Because when you're weak, my strength is made perfect. That means it doesn't matter how old you get, how decrepit you get, how much you don't like to be in front of people because you're old and you're not who you were in your 40s and your 50s. That means nothing to me, God said. I need you to stand where I tell you to stand and speak what I tell you to speak, because it's not you, it's my grace, my sovereign divine ability to get the job done on your behalf that is going to come in your life when you hand over those weaknesses to me. So the first thing I'm learning how to do is identify them. Okay, a weakness. I don't like standing in front of people. I get nervous. I can't get into anything. I've gained 10 pounds. I've been grazing. And I can't blame Jim for eating the food. It's just me. There's things I just can't buy. I cannot buy ice cream and peanut butter. Vanilla ice cream and peanut butter. Oh my gosh, and a spoon. Can't do that. Give no occasion for the flesh. There's things in my life. I don't like being alone. You hear every noise. I don't sleep. There's things that happen. I miss things about being married. Weaknesses, anxieties. Let me read you some things. Oh, almost out of time. Okay, we're good. We're good. So he said, give me your weaknesses. I wrote this. Is there a picture of my superpower? Did you already see it? Okay, I missed it. I was too involved in what I was saying. When I lay down unlawful desires, when I surrender my inabilities, these are weaknesses, when I stop asking him to take away what defeats and wearies me, weaknesses, when I tell him my pain and every worry and every care I have, when I fully give them to him, I'm at the beginning of the power of the gift of grace. Can I read that to you one more time? This is what I'm learning. When I lay down unlawful desires, when I surrender my inabilities, weaknesses, when I stop asking him to take away what defeats and wearies me, when I tell him my pain and every worry and care I have, when I fully give them to him, I'm at the beginning of the power and the grace of God. Surrender your weaknesses. Second thing. Oop, gotta go. Let love empower your faith. Galatians 5:9 is a beautiful verse I've lived in with Jim. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. Circumcision was a sign of the old covenant, that a man was circumcised as a Jew to say that he was under the law and God was his God. It was circumcision. It was a sign of the old covenant. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith. But faith. But faith. Working through love. That word working is a, there's three great words in the Greek New Testament. This is one of those great energy words that says it empowers. It enables my faith. You see, when I let love empower my faith is strengthened. Because grace is a gift. I receive this gift of God. It starts at salvation. I couldn't save myself. God said, my grace is more than enough for you, Paul. I'm not going to remove this messenger of Satan. I'm not taking you out of the shipwrecks. I'm not taking you out of the imprisonments. I'm not taking you out of all the stuff you've gone through. I'm going to teach you how to get through it as a man of God. Because there's grace. There's power, my power in you to do what my word requires of you. Grace, grace. So when I realize how much he loves me. He loves me. That actually empowers the faith that I have to have because grace is a gift, but faith is like the vehicle that reaches up and receives it. For by grace are you saved through faith. For by grace are we saved. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Grace is the gift, but faith is the vehicle that I intentionally receive it from. Does that make sense? I can't make it happen, but I can believe it. I'm standing here today by grace through faith. I can't do a good job. My fear is that I'm going to embarrass my kids and be this old woman that goes off into tangents and make a fool of myself. That's my natural fear. But you see, that's fear. I don't live in a realm of fear. I live in a realm of faith. I live in the realm that says, what I don't see, I believe. And God is able to make all grace abound to me, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm being very vulnerable to you and very honest with you, but I don't know how else to teach you except how God is teaching me. And so when I understand, listen, I was loved by the best. I loved him and he loved me. I miss him every day. I miss his smell, I miss his voice, I miss his presence. His big, he'd fold his big old arms and look down on me and tease me and micromanage me. I miss him because I was loved by him. But I'll tell you, there's a place in God that he calls us to go. It's called the fellowship of his sufferings. It's a very, very narrow road. And when you begin to walk it, and we will all walk it, if you will be trained by it, you'll be changed by it. You'll never be the same. Because when I have been absolutely in my worst despair and grief, I've had an absolute vision and just a glimpse. I don't know how God speaks to us, but he talks to us in so many ways in our spirit. I've had a glimpse of the love of God. And when Jesus was in Gethsemane and he cried and he said, oh, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done. I got a glimpse of the love of the Godhead. They'd never been separated. They loved each other. And he said, I don't want to be separated from you. But you see, when the love of God begins to form in your heart, suddenly there is faith to do what he wants you to do. Because if God can love me that much, how much more on the earth in my earth days can I walk by faith and not by sight? Let faith empower your faith. I'm sorry, let love empower your faith. It's 10:22, I'm supposed to stop. So I will. I won't give you the last one. One more. All right, we'll have to do a fast altar call. So if you need to get saved today, you need to just get saved. You don't want to die and go to hell. You want to live and meet God. You want to live and meet God. The last one that I'm learning how to do. Get up and become. Get up. Get up and become. You are new creations in Christ Jesus. We are a race that has never been. We are the sons and the daughters of Almighty God on the earth. We are the arrows in his quiver that he shoots at his enemies. We are the ones that he has called to be the church. We are the body of Christ on the earth. And he says, Debbie, I need you to get up from this widowhood. I need you to get up from this grief. I need you to get up from this loneliness. I need you to get up from this fear of being alone. I need you to get up from these weaknesses, child. And I need you to become. And I said, Lord, how can anything good come of this? Romans 8:28, for all things work together for good to those that are called to God and called according to his purposes. And he said to me, and it was a day in my life when I was in Bible college and I was supposed to audit a class and take the class, and Pastor Teresa was teaching. She was teaching on the pearl of great price. And I was broken. Jim had only been dead three months. And I said, Lord, how can any good come out of this? And she talked about the pearl and the oyster, and how the oyster, because the kingdom of God is like the merchant who seeks for the pearl, and he finds the pearl and he sells everything that he has for that pearl. And God spoke to me about the oyster. And he said, that oyster makes the pearl. He said, the first verse you taught your children was Romans 12:21. Get up and become, child. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. That's your days on the earth, and that's how you're to walk them. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Well, what has that got to do with an oyster, God? How can any good come out of this? He goes, I'm going to show you. Define good. Good is my will, my way. God's will, God's way, that brings beauty, benefit, and blessing. God's will, God's way, that brings beauty, benefit, and blessing. Evil, that's Satan. It's a perversion of that which is good. Satan has created nothing. He can only pervert that which God made. Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. When God created the heavens and the earth, he said it was good. God's will, God's way, that brings beauty, benefit, and blessing. Evil, a perversion of that which is good. My walk on this earth, my days left, are to overcome evil with good. Do not be overcome with evil. Romans 12:21 says, but overcome evil with good. Well, what has that got to do with the pearl? Oh, he said, I'm glad you asked, because this oyster is making the pearl. When that oyster swallows the ocean and opens up its shell, and that sand and that substance comes into its shell so it can feed, there are parasites that can come in and land in the flesh of that oyster. That parasite is evil. It's meant to kill that oyster. It will destroy that oyster. So what does that oyster do? That oyster begins to secrete a substance. Teresa had the right name of it. I don't remember. We call it mother of pearl. He just begins to wrap that evil in good. He wraps it in mother of pearl. He wraps it and he wraps it and he wraps it and he wraps it. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's just being an oyster. Are you following this? So when evil comes, God says, like the oyster, you're just overcoming it naturally in your new nature, your God nature, with my good. That's why love is the supreme power of the universe. That's why faith works by love. That's why I can call you to rap and to rap and to do, because love never fails. Your faith will not fail. You're overcoming evil with good. And like that oyster, you're creating something that everybody will want. That oyster doesn't know what it's doing. And I guarantee that oyster does not know that there are very qualified divers that are going to come and kill that oyster for that pearl. It's not thinking about that. That's what I'm talking. Get up, he said, and become who I've made you to be. Sons and daughters of God, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has freed you from the law of sin and death, and you are able to overcome evil with good. So know the two laws, the law of sin and death. You sin, you die. The law of life, believe and live. Know and understand that when you surrender your weaknesses to him, that is your superpower, because in that very weakness, his strength is made perfect and his grace comes to your life, and you can do what you could never do. Let love empower your faith, because beloved, you may feel alone. You may feel like nobody understands you, but God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. You're loved. And understand that he's called us not to run, not to ask him to take us out of, but to stand up and overcome and be the church and be the sons and daughters of God that he's called us to be. 3 minutes. Don't tell Pastor Dan. I'll shorten it next week, next service. Liar. Okay. I don't know you, but God does. He brought you here today. He knows the worst things about you. He knows the very most horrible things you don't even know yet, or you have a suspicion of. And he hasn't left you, and he's brought you here, and he's talking to your hearts, because he hasn't called you to die, he's called you to live. But there's only one way to live, and it's through faith in his son, Jesus Christ, who he is, the second person of the Trinity made flesh. What he did, went to a cross, took our sins, became our substitute. And what he did, he raised from the dead to restore you and bring you home to the Father. If you have never surrendered, I talked about surrendering our weaknesses. Now I'm talking about you surrendering your lives. If you've never surrendered your heart, who you are on the inside to him, letting him be Savior and Lord, I'm talking to you because he brought you here today to change your destiny and take you out of the law of sin and death and out of darkness and bring you into his kingdom. So all over this auditorium, with every head bowed, every eye closed, out of respect for the one next to you or the one 5 seats away from you, every head bowed and every eye closed. This is an intimate moment between you and Jesus. If you've never surrendered all of your heart and all of your life to Jesus Christ, if you've never, ever made him Savior, means absolute redeemer, and Lord means boss, then he wants to change your destiny today. If you've been running from God instead of to God, I'm talking to you. If you've never surrendered, I'm talking to you. If you've backslidden, that means you serve God, but you've walked away from him and you need to get right, I'm talking to you. So what I'm gonna do is I'm just gonna hit this pulpit. I'm gonna count to three. One, two, three, bang. I'm gonna ask you all together just to lift your hands so I can see you, and we're gonna pray. You're gonna change destinies today. So are you ready? If you've been running from him instead of to him, I'm talking to you. If you've left him and not served him, even though you know the truth, you've been in the law of sin and death, you sin, you die, I'm talking to you. All over this auditorium, one, raise your hands if you hear this and you need to get right with God. Two, three, raise your hands. Let me see your hands up high. One, I see that hand, I see that hand, I see that hand. Let me see him. I see that hand. Wave him at me. I want to see him. Me and God want to see him. I see that hand. Let me see. I see that hand. I see that hand. Okay, I see that hand. Hands up all over this sanctuary. Because it's 10:30 and we're supposed to be closing this service, we're going to do this quickly. You raise your hand because you know you need to get right with God. This is not a magic prayer that we're going to pray. This is you talking to God from your spirit to his and asking the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to come into your heart and that you can be born again. So what I want to do now, and this is going to take some courage on your part, because this is going to be your first steps in the kingdom. I'm going to ask us all to stand. And if you raised your hand or if you didn't, I'm going to ask you to join them. I'm going to ask you to come and meet me down here at this platform, down here in this altar area. I'm going to ask you to come and let's pray together, and you're going to get right with God, and he's going to take you out of darkness into light. But right now, you need to slip out of your seat and not be afraid of what man thinks, but do be afraid of what God thinks. Come and get right with God today. If you didn't raise your hand and you know you need to, I'm asking you to come, and come quickly, because this old woman talked too long. But come quickly, come quickly, come quickly. You raise your hand and you mean it, and you mean it. This isn't a joke. He went to the cross for us. We can walk down this aisle for him and say, Lord, I need a Savior. You are the Savior of the world, and I need you in my life. Come and get right with God this morning. Before anything else starts in your life, come and let God make you new. You're still coming. Come quickly, quickly, quickly come. Come on. Just like we're all born and we're all gonna die, we here in this auditorium have walked these aisles and said yes to Jesus Christ and been born of the Spirit of God without shame, without guilt, but coming with hope in our hearts that there is a new life for us because God loves us. Okay, well, you came, and aren't you lovely? With every head bowed and every eye closed, they're going to pray with us. God, here's your heart. This isn't a magic prayer that, boom, fairy dust, now you're going to heaven. No, this is you talking to the Father and asking for Jesus to come into your life and be Lord and Savior. And supernaturally, he does a brand new thing in your hearts. So I want you to repeat this after me. I want you to say, Father, I come now in Jesus' name. I ask that, Lord Jesus, you would come into my heart. You would be my Savior, and you would become my Lord. Wash me clean. Grant me the new nature. Take me out of darkness and bring me into your light. Be my Savior for the rest of my days. And then bring me safely home. Thank you, Father, that I can now say out loud and on purpose that Jesus Christ is my Savior and he's my Lord. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome. Aren't you lovely? Okay, this is Pastor Joel. Now, nothing weird happens, but when I had babies, I didn't leave them in the hospital, and they had to fend for themselves. I actually brought them home and nursed them and loved them and cared for them. Well, you're brand new in the Lord. And so there's some things we want to help you with for your first weeks of your salvation. We're not going to get in your business. We're not going to bother you. We're not going to harass you. But we are going to give you some material, a Bible, a book. And we're going to give you a friend if you need a friend, because everybody does, that'll lead you in the first 5 weeks of this walk with God into some truth that you need to know so you can be strong. So that's all Joel is going to do. So if you could just turn this way and follow him. We won't keep you. Your friends can meet you right over there. You'll be gone. You'll be released. And I am 5 minutes over. Bad Nana, bad Nana. I love you. I pray for you, and it's so good to be home. And thank you for loving Jesus. Thank you for loving each other. This is a wonderful place because God made it. So may I bless you as we go. So stretch out your hands. So Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you would cause your face to shine upon your people, that you would cause your favor to go before them and surround them, that you would cause your goodness and your mercy to follow them all of this week. And Almighty God, that you would keep them in your presence and in your care, and that they would have a revelation of Jesus Christ this week, and they would hear your voice. Bless them now in Jesus' name. And we all together said, the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Hey, welcome to the family of God. Pastor Joel wants to welcome you in your new life with Jesus. We at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center want to help you intentionally grow. Pastor Dan wrote this little resource that's downloadable right on the website to you. Now that you're new, what are you going to do? This resource is to help you grow. This resource is to build you up, like Ephesians says in chapter 4, verse 1, to grow into all aspects of him. Who's him? Jesus. We have a culture here that at the Rock where people like us do things like discipleship. Discipleship matters to us, and discipleship matters to you. Why does it matter to you? Because you need to grow. If you're ever on site on campus, one of our faithful friends is here waiting for you. Faithful friends are designed to build relationship and community with you. You grow intentionally, you don't grow automatically. Thank you for checking in, and thank you for giving your life to Jesus. Let's grow together with one big family. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.